I'm saying that my... How are you doing, Vanya? How's it going?
Hi, it's good. I've got something spicy in my eye, and I didn't even eat anything spicy, but I'm okay.
That's very weird. Do you remember when I accidentally pepper sprayed you and Adam by cooking jalapenos in my kitchen?
Yes.
I'm sure that I've told that story, but I'd never cooked with jalapenos before, and I lived in a little one bedroom, and you guys were living with me at the time, and I like put a pan on really hot and chopped up a jalapeno, and then just threw the jalapenos in, and instantly like pepper sprayed myself, and then like hours later, the two of you came in, like walked in the door, were like, "Hey," I'm like, "Ah!" Like
it was like, it's true. It gets like still like the in the particles air. Get stuck in your airway, and it takes a while to get them out. Yeah. Yeah, it's a real thing.
We don't know how you got something spicy in your eye, but
I have no idea.
You seem to be recovering.
I didn't eat anything spicy. That's weird.
And then I was saying that I feel like my microphone's recording quieter than usual, but I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll all be great. Technology.
Yes, technology. You can always turn it up later, I guess. Or, I have a cloud lifter thing that I have to connect my microphone to before it connects to the interface. It's a real fun. It's fun. Technology, like you said, is super fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get to more on that a little bit later. Yeah, I was recording because I had sent you a new vocal for a song.
It's fucking good. And Mike, your voice sounds so good. It's like I can hear it's crispy. It's like good. It's really good.
Yeah, I actually just re-recorded it again because I think that because hearing what it does, I was like, oh, okay, now I kind of know where I can place
it.
And sort of, I think that I've talked about this, that I feel like as far as my singing goes, I've taken to like guarding myself so as not to like sing too loudly into a microphone. And whereas this new microphone is so nice, I kind of don't have to worry about that.
That's nice. Like, I think I can hear your like not holding back. It's nice.
I'm trying to get better at that. I feel like I've learned these habits that I didn't realize that I was learning, and that now I kind of have to go back and be like, oh no, sing like you used to sing. I don't know. It's been a process, and the new microphone has been something that I'm enjoying, and I think is gonna maybe like unlock some stuff. Yeah. Anyway, we don't have to do all about that. How have you been? How was your 4th of July?
The 4th of July was good. You know, we just did things that the kids wanted to do with their friends. Actually, we got to hang out with friends. It was fun. And we weren't in a place where we could see the fireworks, but like as we were leaving, their neighbors were, because the people had a pool, our friends had a pool. So we were like swam, we did all this. Did mortars. And it was, they're basically like you know, the big fireworks people get, but they were really spectacular, if you ask me. I'm, you know me, I get frayed because growing up I was like lived in a really dry area, and there was like a you know, field behind our house, and so I felt like every 4th of July my dad was in the back like just hosing. I'm like, yeah, okay, is that gonna really oh god. So no, it was for me it was good because it was like not stressful, but it was really low key.
Okay.
You know.
Is that the day that you got a bit of a sunburn?
No, the sunburn was when I went to the beach because I...
Oh, right.
I let my belly to the world. I said, hello, belly, look at the world. Because I was thinking if I get a little sun on there... Because I have a hard time wearing a one piece because my torso is so freaking long. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to wear a two piece. Who cares? No one cares. No one literally cares except for me, where I'm like, I think of myself as a younger person where I felt more comfortable wearing a two piece. Well, guess what? I did it. And then that's when I burnt the shit out of my stomach because I haven't let it, the sun has not seen it for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm peeling now. I'm in the peeling phase.
Gotcha. I worked on the 4th of July and it was fine. Like I'm not someone who wanted to go like be in the crowd anyway, but it was sort of an odd, like I got done with work right around 9 o'clock, which is sort of when the festivities are starting. And
right.
I just kind of like got on a train and went, and the train was strangely really crowded. I'm like, why are you all out watching fireworks? Like it was bizarre how many people were traveling at 9 o'clock at night on the 4th of July.
How funny.
And then I just kind of went home and, you know, from my window, I can kind of see things off in the distance. So it was fine, but it did make me think, I know this is like a year from now, but I sent you a message of like, I think next 4th of July, I come to LA.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because restaurants are so dead.
It's got to be one of the slowest days of the year.
Well, even like 4th of July was fine and just over at like 7:30 or 8 because everyone eats early and then goes to
right.
a barbecue or a park or to watch fireworks. But the day, like the weekend was crazy. Like it was so slow Friday, Saturday, Sunday
wow.
that A, I know I'm going to have a horrible paycheck this next week, but like B, next year, 4th of July is on a Friday. Like I'm just going to take the weekend
Let's
off and come spend the weekend
Let's
with you
it.
Guys and not worry
and we'll
about losing money because I'm not losing money.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find like a fun thing to do. So that's a fun plan for
maybe we'll
a year
go to the
from
beach.
Now.
Oh my God.
I would love that.
It's our favorite.
So yeah, we'll see. So it was fine. It's been kind of a strange week. I feel like a thing that I don't know if I've really talked about this, but I have a fully made bed.
Good.
Yeah, I have all my pillows and Good. Sheets, and it was a little nerve-wracking the first night, but everything's been fine. I don't know how long I'm allowed to be freaked out for.
I mean, as long as you need to be. But yeah. also, there is a point where maybe you have to let it go, because if you haven't gotten any bites, which you never really did, I guess, right? You haven't
No,
seen
I never
anything.
Got any bites, but I do still have, like, the powder around the walls. Like I've swept most of it up, but I kind of have like a protective layer, and like my bed isn't all the way against the wall yet. It's still kind of in the middle, and I still have like glue traps under the legs. So I'm being like cautious.
Yeah.
But trying to get better at like letting it go. Like things, I would have seen signs if anything was going on. I think once again, it goes back to the fact that because there was no explanation the first time, it's hard for me to like trust that things are okay.
I agree with that. And listen, I say keep it as long as it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And safe.
I think that'll kind of be how it goes. And then yesterday I did sort of a weird shopping day, but you know that I'm really bad at shopping. So I like went down to 34th Street and like tried the H&M.
And oh, yeah. Shopping's
everything's
tough.
Also, it's weird. And like everything's, I guess it's also just a weird part of the season because it's July. So a lot of the summer stuff, which is kind of what I was looking at, like has already gone. I don't know. It's.
Well, honestly, Mike, going shopping into a brick and mortar store is so hard because they don't have stock.
Right.
It doesn't matter when you are of the season. Honestly, like most people buy online, which I have a really hard time with because here's the thing. I won't return stuff. I'm really bad like that. So then I just don't buy anything. I'm like, fine. I guess I just don't deserve to have any new things because I won't return it. But if you're good at returning,
I'm not. That's the thing. I'm not good at returning things. So the idea, I bought some clothes online, but whether I like it or not, I end up keeping it. So it's kind of like, I wanted to try things on and I couldn't really even find, like I wanted to, I'm trying to like find cuter shorts. I'm trying to segue, is that the word? Away from like my cargo short and t-shirt all the time look in the summer. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm trying to buy shorts that are kind of cuter. Like I bought like a short with a 7-inch inseam, which is like crazy for me because I always bought like the really baggy stuff before. But it's hard to find. I don't know if it's a style thing that like we are sort of in the new 90s. So things are going back to being baggier. And I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to go.
You're like,
you know,
I'm finally ready to move on.
I know, right? I'm finally ready to move on. And fashion's going back to how it was when I first. You know that like I really recently discovered, and by really recently, it was a few years ago. But I discovered that my entire life I've been buying the wrong jean size. And I don't mean waist size. Mm-hmm. I've been buying the wrong inseam my entire life.
Oh my God.
Because when I came of an age where I was buying my own clothes, it was the mid 90s. So everything was kind of baggier and looser.
Oh, yeah.
So I was buying like a 34 inch inseam and I'm actually a 32 inch inseam.
Interesting. You seem you're very
weird,
tall.
Yeah.
So I would buy 34 for you.
I'm very tall, but I am also mostly torso.
And so am I, Mike.
Yeah.
We know this. Yes.
People are always like, how do you sit in a, you know, in an airplane? Don't you want the extra leg room? And like, honestly, I don't need the extra leg room because I have long legs, but they're not disproportionately long. It's really my torso. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it.
So anyways, it's just silly little things, but I ended up buying some stuff, but it's just like, yeah, the act of like walking through, like, I'm not sure that I've ever actually tried to shop at an Abercrombie and Fitch before. So I don't know if this is what they're all like, but it was the weirdest, smallest space.
People.
I guess so. Like, it was just weird where I was like, but also there was no, you're right. There was no supply. Like, there was no stock.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing there. It was very odd. It was an odd shopping day, but it was fine.
Well, you know, this week last week I told you about I'm working again with the, you're the, You're the Last One podcast, yeah, yeah. people. And mm-hmm. I did a re-listen because it's been a while since I've listened, but I know you listened recently. And it's mm-hmm. just the first time I listened, I didn't listen on headphones. And if anybody's out there wants to listen, definitely listen on headphones because the sound design is very immersive. And it's like, I was so taken out of my, even though I knew what was kind of going to happen, I was so taken out of my day, which was nice. It was nice to be like, oh, I'm in a different place. Like, so I really recommend it. But anyways, I'm preparing for the next wave of recording. And I found out that the team just won something. They won Apulia Webfest. Oh, it's an official selection of Apulia Webfest and the Minnesota Webfest. So it's like a really good... It's a good one. They're also trying to, if you want to, they're trying to crowdfund right now for this next season. So you can find them on Indiegogo as well. I don't know. I just wanted to mention that. But it was like a fun, I kind of forgot what a fun journey it was to listen to. And so I'm really excited for the next ones. I'm excited. I'm nervous, of course, to record because I want to do a good job. But it felt, because it, you know, they started with the Brick Theater. Like they had like, a residency type thing with the Brick Theater, which is in New York. So a lot of the people, like, I know they're... Anyway, it's exciting to be a part of something artistic right now. I feel like that isn't my own making. You know what I mean?
Right.
So...
Yeah, no, it was really fun listening to it. Do you just record this stuff on your own?
So I work with a producer, and his name's Justin. Gotcha. He's amazing. He's really... Like, the whole team's cool, but he... I think we were... FaceTiming at the same time, but he would read with me and then he gave me directions. So I did a bunch of different takes. So, you know, he directed because he knows in the end, like when you guys listen to the podcast or it's really like a radio play or whatever.
Yeah.
You hear extra. There's lots of different sounds. And so I reading it couldn't understand that. So he sort of understands what the end concept is going to be like. So then directed my, my vocals. So I do it at my home, but I do it with someone.
Gotcha.
And then send them like the really fat file that took forever that I was like panicking wouldn't get to them, but it did.
Is that just a different, it's not a wave or an MP3, it's something else?
No, it was.
Oh, well, gotcha.
I think so. Actually, now I have to get a hold of them because I do my first day tomorrow and I'd be like, I don't mean to be insecure, but I am. How do I do this again? Anyway, it's all good. But I'm just nerve-sighted. Nerve-sighted mm-hmm. for it.
Do you know how many episodes it's going to be? Are you allowed to say?
Well, I'm only working on two more. So, or actually, gotcha. There's definitely at least five, I think. But okay. I'm not totally sure how many.
It was funny because I was listening to it on my noise-canceling earbuds.
Yeah.
But I was also doing things in my apartment. Like, I was like, I've been trying, you know, we talked about this. Like every day I'm trying to do something that's, like, proactive. Today it was simply, like, I warmed up my voice and I sang a bit and played guitar. Like, that's totally fine. But, like, that day I was like, I need to start making my apartment look like an apartment again. It's been an ongoing process of moving things around. And
yeah.
Finding where I want to put things so I don't just end up with the mess that I had before, like trying to be a little more organized. So I had my headphones in and I was listening to one of the episodes and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was kind of a creepy moment in one of the episodes. Yeah. And I didn't realize that my roommate had come home. So I was like walking down my very long hallway towards the living room and I like just sensed a presence behind me.
It's all about like a scary presence. They don't know what it is. Oh
my God.
And
that's totally what it was. And it was in the moment where like the thing was like making I can't remember what the sentence was that it says over and over again.
I know.
But like, yes, yes. And yeah, it was a funny moment where I like almost screamed at the top of my lungs as there was suddenly someone behind me in the apartment.
Because honestly, I was walking. I took a route, which I don't usually do alone because it's like a backwoods route, but it's just so pretty and it's shaded. It's really hot here. So I've been walking early in the morning. And there was like an older man and I'm like, he's going to murder me. He's like walking up to me. He didn't. But I like all I could see was him like having like superhuman strength and like murdering me. But obviously I survived that. But I was also like, it puts you in that creepy fun mood. Actually, well, whenever we're ready to move to the digging, I saw a horror movie, Mike.
Oh, tell me about it. Let's do it. Okay. What did you see?
So I have a few diggings, but
okay.
So I saw Maxine, which is a trilogy. It's like the third installment of the trilogy. Ty West is the director, and I'm a very fraidy cat when it comes to like, I don't know, like the satanic-y, devil-y, or more like spirit. That scares the shit out of me. This,
sure,
it had a little tiny bit of that, but it was like a mystery and gore, and then it had a bit of camp. I really liked it. I liked it a lot. Like for me, it told different stories. Like Adam, my husband, felt a little, he was like, okay, Vanya, but like, it's about a person who wants to be an actor, but she's an adult film star and there's someone hunting her. Anyways, it's fucking great. So I say, if you can see it in the theater, go for it. I mean, you can see it anywhere, but it was one of those things, like you had mentioned, you know, it really did take you out of any of your worries for me. And then also, like, I was starting to panic because our friend produced it, Peter Polk. He's a friend we've known for a long time back in New York. We used to work with like him doing different things, and I forget what the production company was. Anyways, but he was one of the executive producers on this, and he rented out a theater in Sherman Oaks. So a bunch of people went, and then afterwards I got to be like, obviously no kids, I got to be at a party with like adults, Mike. It was so good. I was like, oh, here she is. There's Vanya again. You know, like I haven't gotten to like really be myself in a while. Like I'm always myself with the caveat that I'm helping somebody else. And it was just like fun. I was with Adam and we had a good time. So that was one thing I'm digging. Highly recommend. What else? What else? I made notes today. Oh, I sent you a link to this. I love this podcast. It's 10% Happier. And Abby Wambach was on it. It was a really good episode. You know, I wish there was more. I wish it was like a 5-part series. But she briefly talks about like getting through grief. Her brother passed away recently. She talks about moving from external to internal validation, which I thought was so interesting. And then the thing she really, like, it got me because I was like, what? It's like her definition of self-love. It, like, basically figuring out how she will self-love better. That sounds weird. But it's like the idea of like, I love you without bias. You know, like, I mean, you can make mistakes. I'm like, if you say, oh, I suck, I'm like, no, you don't. You're amazing. Da, da, da. Do I do that to myself? Like, I love my kids unconditionally, you know, like, so loving yourself, how can you love yourself just like you love somebody else who you really, you know, really love? Oh, so it's like that idea. She explains it much better. So I really recommend that episode. It was wonderful. I truly like her a lot as a person, and she's been through struggles. I mean, like, if you know her story, but yeah, so those are my diggings. I like it.
Cool. Yeah, I saw. Maybe I'll give that a listen today. I'm going to go. I haven't left my apartment yet other than to like run to the grocery store. And I'm kind of like, I need to go do something outside.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll listen to that.
Is it hot today?
It's so hot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like we're still in just the string of like over 90 degree days. Yeah.
You look great.
Yeah, so it's been warm. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I probably got some color on my shoulders yesterday walking around the city with the tank top on. But
yeah,
I try to stay to the shade as much as possible. And then, yeah, my hair is getting crazy long. My dig-in is sort of a follow-up on something that I actually did mention a couple weeks ago, because I brought up that I have been very hesitant to watch the final season of The Crown. Now, I don't know if you ever watched any of it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's an interesting series because I don't care. I don't mean this in a like a shady way. I don't care about the royals really at all. Like, I don't really understand why there's a monarchy. Like, it's very bizarre to me. But the series is pretty incredibly well made. I think that most people kind of agree that like season 4 was kind of like the height. Like, that's the year that it swept the Emmys. Like, it won literally every category at the Emmys. I was really nervous to watch the 6th season because even with the 5th season, it felt very odd watching a television show about a history that I remember happening.
Yeah, sure.
And even as I started season 6, there were definitely, like, it starts with the car crash. Like, the first scene is the crash where Diana dies, and then it goes back 3 weeks and then brings us up to date over the course of like 3 episodes. And there are some claims, like Peter Morgan definitely says some stuff that I was like, ooh, okay, I wonder if that's true, because we know that it's not all true. We know that it's a lot of him sort of making things up. I guess my point at the end that I want to say is it was so good. The sixth season was so...
Really? Okay.
It was just so beautifully written and directed and acted. And the way that it all... Like, the final episode was just so beautiful and so really poignant. Because it doesn't lead up to the queen dying, because she died while they were filming this final season.
Oh, right.
But the final episode has a lot to do with sort of her planning for her own funeral. And just sort of the way that they bring it all together and bring the I don't want to say too much, but I just thought it was, I will say, anyone that's unsure, give it a watch. Okay. It was a very, very satisfying final season. Yeah, there you go. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Good. So.
And then as far as doing without, I don't know, I have a couple things, and one is sort of art related, but it's not the art's problem. It's just that, like, I knew that I wasn't going to really enjoy The Curse.
Oh, yeah.
That show that Emma, it's just, Emma Stone is amazing. We talk about her not infrequently on this podcast, and right. She's incredible. And it's really, it's like well made. It's just so about awkward people being awkward. And I'm like three episodes, and just like my skin crawls the whole time. Oh, I'm just like, no. Don't chase after the girl saying that she has tiny cans. Like, we know what you mean, but the guy that's watching, like, it's just so awkward and so uncomfortable. And it's going to be fine. And once again, it's not about the piece. It's well made. It's probably going to be nominated for Emmys. That's literally why I'm watching it, because I'm trying to like get ahead of certain Emmy things. But yeah, it is very uncomfortable. But the other thing is, we were talking about like technology begetting like more issues and more problems. I just realized yesterday I have no way to connect my electronic keyboard up to my new computer.
Uh-oh.
Well, like, it doesn't have the same inputs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look at the outputs on the keyboard itself to see what my options are, because I don't even know what the options are. So I guess I'll probably take a picture of that and then go into some, maybe I'll go to, what's the place on 34th Street, B&H or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, that was just the thing where
they have adapters for everything. You'll definitely be able to find something. Yeah,
so
they definitely
do. It must exist.
I'm assuming it would be an HDMI, but no.
Probably. I know that my new computer has that. I just don't know that the keyboard does.
Oh, you would just need to get one for that. Okay. Well, I believe it's going to happen. It's just another annoying step that you have to take before you can...
Where I'm like, oh, I can't do anything with my keyboard. Anyway, it's fine. How about you? Anything in particular you could do with that this week?
Well, I guess I could... I'm going to call it like... I don't want to be like, I don't like it. But the kids really want to watch the new Twister. I don't know. So we decided to watch the old one, the original Twister. And, you know, it's such a simple movie, right? It's really, and it's almost like a monster film, because the Twister becomes the monster. So that's fun. And there's different little moments that are like cool. The thing I really liked about it was like every character is like unique and like really a character. I feel like they don't do that in movies anymore. Maybe I'm wrong, but they don't like allow for real, like what's his name was in it? Oh my God. And he's in Boogie Nights and he passed away.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Thank you. This is why we're good together. He was in it and he's like a total weird character. Did scare the kids a bit, you know, cause like that first scene where the dad like dies, I'm like, why is he holding the door? Stupid idiot. And so I have to like really hold myself back from talking shit the entire time. And anyways, in the end, like the movie's like, you're like, oh, it's over. And the whole thing is they got the data. So, like, this is a movie. It's a movie about just getting the data. They got the data.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just, like, ruined it for everyone. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. But
massive
it's, like,
spoiler.
Such an anticlimactic. It's, like, this, like, rah, 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 we're coming to kill you. I'm a twister, and I'm going to murder your whole family and remind you of your past traumatic situations. And then at the end, it's all gone, and they're, like, we got the data. Yay! That's all. So it's not like something I could do without, but it's just something I wanted to bitch about for a long time. That's
right.
All.
That's really funny. You know what I think of when I think of that movie? And I'm going to say the line wrong and undo my own thing that I'm saying that I always think about. I think about Jamie Gertz saying like, I know my own way home. It's something like
that.
Like,
oh yeah. She's got a real Southern accent. It's like so Southern. I'm like, ouch. She's like, I know my own way home.
I know my own way home. And that's what it is. I always think about that line. I don't know why.
I know. And then they break up and it's like, and then he's sad, but he's also like, can't wait to bone Helen Hunt because they obviously are meant for each other. But it was her fault that they broke up because she really loved the Twister more than she loved, you know, the guy.
I haven't seen that movie in so long. It's been forever ago.
I would take a check. Take a check it out. I just feel like it's, when I was young, I thought, oh, it's so magnificent, this blockbuster movie. But when you really sit down and watch it, it was fun. It was a fun movie. But it was also very simple. Very simple.
Sure.
And like the ant who feeds everybody.
They're just trying to get the data and they get the data.
Yeah. Right. In the end, yeah, just about the data. Because that's how she heals her trauma, child trauma.
That's really funny.
Anywho, yeah.
I didn't really give us a topic because at first it was going to be the 4th of July. And then I was like, we've definitely talked about the 4th of July before.
I have a topic.
Oh, get it. What's up?
Can I spring it on you?
Yeah, spring it on me.
Because part of me was thinking I would make this my random thing, but I'm like, no, I think we should talk about it. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Did you know? So the topic is generations.
Sure.
So I'm a Gen X. I think you probably are too. We've got millennials. We've got, our parents were baby boomers. Before that, I forget what they are. They're like the depressive era. I'm not sure. Anyways, then we have our Gen Z. And then I think my children are Gen Alpha. So anyway, so I just did a little research. The assignment of the specific time and names to generations. It's not an exact science. And there isn't a singular authority or organization that officially designates them. Because what was happening in my brain, because I know I've talked about this a little bit before, of like feeling like I'm having a midlife crisis right now. I'm like, I know, I guess I probably relate a little more to millennial and then like Gen Z people. It's when you're on the web or when you're on the worldwide web of social media, everybody's like, I'm Gen Z, fuck off. And then the millennials are like, we're millennials, this and this and this. And you really rarely hear from Gen Xers. But so, okay, so before I get into this, because I want to know your thoughts and like how, if you feel like you relate to your generation. But just to like finish that thought, I was getting depressed because I'm feeling like I'm aging and all this stuff. And I'm like, but I'm also like, this shit's made up, man. It's fucking made up. But it's because it's associated with like what's happening at the time and all that. So the baby boomer generation is typically considered to include individuals born between mid-1940s and 60s. Gen X is those born in the 60s to the early 80s, millennials, whatever. And then, we're also known as Generation Y. No, millennials are known as Generation Y. And then there's the Gen Z. So wait, what I wanted to say is, okay, baby boomers got their name because there were significant increase in birth rates following World War II. Gen X is said to represent an undefined or unknown future. So we're like, what the fuck are we doing with our lives? Well, great. I still feel that way. Millennials are named for coming of the turn of the millennium. And Generation Z, I guess, signifies the Z in the digital age, which there's no Z in that, but whatever. So my question. So in essence, the assignment of generation timeframes and names is a social and cultural construct that evolves over time, and it's like based on societal changes and who the fuck. Anyways, so there's a couple people in an office going, you know what? Okay, let's vote on it. That sounds good. So how do you feel about being Gen X? How do you feel about the generations?
I feel, I did have a moment when I wasn't sure if I was Gen X. And I am, because I did look up the dates at one point. I think it's funny because I do feel like so many things, it tends to speed up. Like I feel like boomers was like 2 decades.
Yeah.
X is like 15. Like the time period seemed to get shorter and shorter. And I don't know if that's just a sign of like time going by more quickly. It's funny because I was having this conversation yesterday at work, because especially working in restaurants, as time goes on, I am more and more the oldest person in the room.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I have a new coworker who's about my age, 2 years younger than I am. So I graduated high school in 95 and he graduated in 97.
Same as me.
Same as you. And we were talking to a other coworker who was born in 97, which once again isn't weird. Like that's a normal age for someone to be that's working at a restaurant. You know, right. Like I'm on the older side of someone who's working at a restaurant, you know. But I was saying how I'm really glad that I'm from the time period that I'm from. Like I like that, like my grandma had a rotary phone. Like, totally. I remember trying to explain to a coworker, like, what a landline was, because they didn't have any concept of what that meant. And, like, I like that I remember a world in which there wasn't internet. Like, I like that I remember a world in which there certainly wasn't social media. One of my roommates was just listening to something, and it was someone talking about how, like, social media just makes you feel bad. Like, it's just there to make you feel bad. And I 100% agree, but I can't stop looking at it. I find myself just, like, going to it without thinking. And I'm like, just... what else? Do something else. I don't know. So I do feel that I'm of that generation. Like, that makes sense to me. But I certainly have moments where, I don't know if this is going to sound creepy or not, but I have moments when I'll look at a guy and be like, oh, he's really attractive. And then I'll think, oh, he's probably also 20 years younger than I am. And it doesn't, like, register that, like, I'm that much older than someone else who is an adult. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say, like, but he's an adult. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, it's so weird being like, we are both adults. I've just been one for much longer than you have.
Right, right. Did I tell you I was watching the MasterChef Generations episode? Okay, so did I tell you that?
I don't think so.
Because this is where my whole brain, like, kind of exploded. So it's like all of these generations are pitted against each other for MasterChef. I love, you know, that's my, like, comfort trash TV that's good for my head. The reality TV of the MasterChef. It has to do with cooking, you know, whatever. But I'm like looking at these people who are Gen X and I'm like, what? No, I'm not that old. But I am. I mean, I'm on the younger side of the generation, but still.
Same.
I'm just like, and then, so I think for me, the whole thing is like, I've been so judgmental. Like, about it. Like, anytime somebody writes some stupid thing, it's usually a man and he's a boomer, but he could be Gen X. I don't know, because they're all, I'm like, or anytime I've gotten, like, some horrible DM from somebody, it's always, like, some scary boomer dude, bald. I'm like, why do you want to rape and kill me? I don't understand. But that's back when I was doing more, like, public stuff. Point is I was, like, really judgmental, and I think a lot of people are, because, especially because of social media, where it's like, I'm this. If you're like this, then you're like this. You know, I'm just like, let's stop. This is the thing I hate about religion too. Because it's all like, we identify in this group and not in that group. So it kind of made me feel better, to be honest, to like do some of this research, because I was like, none of it. It's all fucking made up. Everything.
Right.
It's all made up. So we're all just
humans.
It's all
a construct.
But I do agree with you, because I actually do appreciate, I love that I just got to go outside and just do whatever the fuck I wanted outside, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, without any worry. I mean, my parents were pretty intense. But, like, besides that, no phones. It was just your general bullying that just people told you, you know, whatever. You look like toucan, you, because your nose is hooked. But whatever. Whatever it is, you know. Whatever it is.
Yeah, I guess I also think about when I was younger, and I was kind, you know, I said and did things that I look back at now and I'm like, oh, what a fucking asshole.
Same.
But when you're 21, 22, you're like, well, I'm this forever. Like, and look at that old person. Why is that old person at this club? And now I'm like, oh, I'm the age that old person was. And not that I go to a club, but like, if I wanted to go to a club, I can go to a club.
Exactly.
And like,
but now you have experience. You understand that, because when you're so young, you're like, you really value being young.
Yes, 100%.
If you're an evolved person who ages, being young is great, but there's also, it's not everything. So,
and it's also, whenever I hear the youngest to ever blah, I'm like, who the fuck cares? You're the youngest, good for you.
Yeah,
like, I want to hear the oldest. I want to know who the oldest person was who ever did this. Like, that's so much more interesting to me now. And obviously it's because I'm older, but it's also just that thing of like, I understand why there's a 30 under 30 list, but like, I don't, it's because I know that part of that's just probably me being kind of a dick and being like, well, I'm never going to be the 30 under 30. But I'm also like, we just value it so much. We value the young, the youth side of it so much. And I really am trying to get into the mentality more of like, no, things can happen when you're older, because you have more experience and you have more perspective.
Totally. And also, I don't know if you know, but a lot of those 30 under 30s, 40 under 40, the people have to submit for those. Like, I would submit myself for that. You know what I mean? It's not.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, funny.
It's like an agent would submit you, your agent, you know, like whatever it is. It's not like some magazines scouting for the who's the best, you know, it's like, no, they take submissions and you can submit yourself. So it's all a lie, people. It's all a lie. Do not hold on to any of the bullshit that we're telling ourselves. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just wanted to talk about that because I actually feel lighter understanding it, because it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. I like that. Was that your random thing then?
That was my random thing, but it became our topic too. Ooh.
So this was gonna, it's funny because what was gonna be our topic has now become my random thing.
Yay. Okay.
Because I was thinking about 4th of July and how there was a year of my life that I kept a journal and I wrote in it basically every day. And I thought, wouldn't that be wild to look back at July 4th, 1994? It was a Monday. I'm not going to read the whole...
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
...entry, but I wanted to read part of it, partly because it's interesting, the reverberations that it has, and some of it's kind of depressing, but let's just... Okay.
Okay.
Oh, for the record, I was in New Orleans.
Oh.
I'm sure I've mentioned this. My dad was the president of the local National Education Association. So a lot of times, like summer of 92, I got to spend 4th of July, the week of 4th of July in Washington, D.C. and see the fireworks there. Summer of 94, we took a 5-week car vacation, which was not great at the age of 16, but it's kind of amazing now to think about it.
Yes.
But we were in New Orleans for the 4th of July. So, all right, we ended up being late to the fireworks. I was angry about that. I wasn't angry at anyone in particular, just angry. It took me a while to cool down and enjoy the fireworks. They were beautiful. Because we got there late, I ended up having to watch the fireworks through the trees. You could still see the fireworks, but not the whole beauty. I could tell what they looked like and enjoy them, but it would have been better with nothing blocking my view. When we came back to the hotel, we watched the making of Forrest Gump. It made me think about being a director or even an actor. I don't know if I can do it. I have the ideas, but not the final outcome. I doubt I could ever pull off most of my visions. It's hard to think I'm not good enough. At the same time, it doesn't motivate me to do better. Maybe I've lost all motivation. I guess I'm just lazy or worse.
Oh.
And it breaks my heart for that kid, but it also breaks my heart for me now, because yeah, those are still the same thoughts that I deal with all the time. And I know we've discussed this before, but yeah, it sometimes blows my mind that 30 years later, so much of my feelings and thoughts when I was a teenager are still the things that I think and still the things that I struggle with. And I don't know if that's true for everybody. I don't know if others like have these great breakthroughs and get through it, but I don't know. I literally just read that like 5 minutes before we started this recording.
Wow.
And I just had that thought of like, first of all, I have my second album that one day will hopefully be out there is called Blue Through the Green.
Yes, I thought about
that. And one of
the
songs, it's totally about watching fireworks through trees. Like that, yeah, it's kind of random. Maybe I'll put it's not very good quality. Maybe I'll put a little clip of that in here. But
oh my gosh, you should.
It can block your sight or make things just right. Fireworks through the trees blocks the view of what you see. Never seemed too clear to me, but the blue through the green looks so beautiful to me. How should I know just what was meant for me when it wasn't really meant to be? When I wasn't really meant to see what's behind that tree?
But that you should totally re-record. Oh my God, I would love it. Well, and I also think like, our generation, when we were young, but the time we were alive, when we were coming of age, no one got therapy unless you had something severely happen to you, right? So
yeah,
like, I really think that we're lucky now. I feel like, because there's, how I understand with the therapy I've worked on, taken and like things is like, you're still going to feel certain ways. You're still going to be anxious like myself. You know, But I'm going to be now, because I've had some therapy and I've had some counseling, I have some tools and I'm not trying to run away from the feelings. I know that they're coming and now I can do something about it. And I think over time it gets better. I don't know. That's just kind of like my hope for the younger generation.
Oh, man. Well, we
here we go.
I like our little existential journeys that we do here. I think that, you know, talking about important things, I think I will, you know, I hope that she's okay with me saying this, but Annabelle was just texting me that she was listening to last week's Today and how she's really glad that we talk about these things.
I'm glad we talk about them too. Yeah, me too. I want to hang out with you guys.
I know. Come to New York right now.
Okay. I'll be there.
Awesome. Getting on a flight. All right. I love you. We will talk again later.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We'll be back next week.
So maybe the point is some blinding, unaware what lies behind it. Leaves of faith with partial view, focus past what you're looking through. Fireworks through the trees blocks the view of what you see. Never seemed too clear to me, but the blue through the green looks so beautiful to me.